What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Thursday, October 10th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, I am happy to report, just got back from the NovaCare Complex, just got back from the Eagles' first day of practice for the Cleveland Browns coming off the bye week, and the vibes were high. It was a good day down at the NovaCare, beautiful day out there, sky was blue, the grass was green, footballs were being thrown, but outside of that, I thought it was a very positive day for the Philadelphia Eagles on Wednesday as they returned to practice. And that was, it's positive in a few ways. One, we're going to talk about the injury report. Really good news there. But outside of that, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni talked about communication in their relationship in a way I don't think I've heard them talk about it in a really long time. So I'm excited to get into that, play you what they had to say, talk about what I think it means, and break down a good day at the NovaCare Complex. But first, as we always do, let's talk about what's on the schedule for today, Thursday. The Eagles will be back at it. No Nick, no Jalen press conferences, but they will practice and we will get a chance to talk to players in the locker room. So some quotes coming out of there, I'm sure. At 1:20, the locker room will open. So keep an eye out for videos, quotes, all those good things. I think we might hear from AJ Brown today. And then at 2:15, practice begins. We'll give us another look at who's practicing, who's not. But the good news is they were a very healthy team on Wednesday for their practice. So they released the injury report after practice, and a lot of players were on it, but a lot of players were on there as full participants. Reed Blankenship, full participant with an illness. Anaya Smith, full participant despite having the ankle injury. Johnny Wilson, full participant despite having a concussion. And then the other three big names you've been waiting to hear, as well as Sidney Brown, who was a full participant with a knee injury. Devontae Smith, full participant. Lane Johnson, full participant. AJ Brown, full participant. Been a long time since they've had those three as full participants in practice. In fact, the last time they did, I believe, yeah, it would have been coming off of the Brazil game and their win over the Packers. So great news for the Eagles as they are starting to get healthier and healthier. Lane Johnson spoke at his locker today and said that he will play on Sunday. And the general consensus when you talk to players in the locker room is that AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are going to play. So they should go into the game on Sunday with all 11 starters on offense healthy. And on defense, you know, one injury to keep an eye out for, N'Kobe Dean was listed as a limited participant with an ankle injury since it's been a long time since they played or practiced. Unclear if he practiced that and if he suffered that ankle injury in practice. I did see him in the locker room prior to practice. Looked like he was fine. So we'll get a better sense of that tomorrow when they take the field. But outside of N'Kobe, 21 of 22 starters healthy with the Eagles right now. And there's a chance it's 22 out of 22. So good news from a health perspective for the Eagles as they prepare for what is really, let's be honest, a must-win game against the Cleveland Browns, strictly just for vibes. Obviously, you could fall to 2-3 and you could recover, but man, you lose to Cleveland, things are going to be really bad. So good news from a health perspective. But I think the other main takeaway from the NovaCare on Wednesday, and I can't wait to talk to you guys about this and talk to James about it, I think Jalen Hurts gave the best answer we have heard when it comes to talking about his relationship with Nick Sirianni that I've heard in a really, really long time. So let's start with Nick Sirianni, though, because Nick Sirianni spoke earlier in the day. He spoke at 12 o'clock, and he was asked a question about what makes the relationship between an owner, the head coach, and the quarterback work. And his answer, I just thought it was fascinating, the first word he said. And I think it's even more fascinating when you hear Jalen's answer in a minute. So first, here's what Nick had to say about the importance of how a relationship with the owner, the head coach, and the quarterback works.
Communication, right? Communication, talking through everything, having hard discussion, having, you know, it's not kumbaya, but it's having hard discussions, telling the truth to each other. I mean, I think that's, at the end of the day, like, it always comes down to communication. I don't care if it's the relationship with your wife or your relationship with your kids, your relationship with the players, your relationship with ownership, your relationship with the GM. I think that all always is going to be the core, and honesty are going to be the core things of any good relationship and any meshing. We know how important relationships are, and particularly the ones you just mentioned. And so yeah, that's what it's about in my mind, and that's what we strive and try to do.
The fact he said communication first perked my ear up when I was at the press conference. Unfortunately, nobody got a chance to follow up on that, you know, ask about his communication with the guy, the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. But later in the day, after practice, after the locker room, Jalen Hurts spoke about, you know, he hinted at it in an answer earlier that kind of he had a chance to talk to his coaches a bunch. And then he was asked more about the meeting with Nick Sirianni. And man, what an encouraging answer. Here's what Jalen had to say about his bye week meeting with Nick Sirianni.
Well, we're the two leaders of the team, you know, and I'm happy and fortunate that, you know, we were able to come together in harmony and have the same goal in mind and trying to get this thing right. I got a ton of confidence in him, a ton of confidence in what he brings and everything he's been able to accomplish, and just continue to press on that. You know, everybody goes through different moments. Everybody experiences adversity, but we've experienced different levels of adversity together, and we're excited for what's to come.
So it isn't clear if he means one big sit-down meeting, if he means a collection of meetings, but here's what is clear. That is everything you want to hear from Jalen Hurts when talking about his relationship with Nick Sirianni. I thought there were a few really key parts of that. One, he compliments Nick, right? He says he's happy to have Nick as his head coach. He's happy of what Nick brings to the team. There was use of the word together, right? Like talking about them as a unit. I thought that was a really positive sign for talking about his relationship with Nick. He used the word harmony when talking about, you know, their relationship and where it's at. And he said that they're the two leaders of the team. If you remember prior to the bye week, I asked Jalen about, as the two leaders of the team, are they going to take time to sit and talk? And he said, we've had our moments. And obviously that answer was not, you know, received well. This answer right here gives real reason for hope. As we talked about earlier in the week on the podcast, when the Jets fired Robert Saleh, it was kind of a harsh slap in the face reminder of how important it is to have your head coach and quarterback on the same page, and how it is really hard to survive when your head coach and quarterback are not on the same page. That answer from Jalen gives an indication that they are on the same page. And, you know, I'll try to get more information about it. Hopefully there's more information that comes out about it as we're in the locker room and, you know, maybe more people talk about it. But this sounds like a meeting where things were solved. You know, I referenced the Larry Brown, Allen Iverson meeting from 2001 earlier in the week. Maybe that was this type of meeting. I don't think it was maybe as bad as it was with Larry and Allen Iverson at any point. But I think it's crucially important that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are on the same page. And this answer sounds like they are on the same page. And frankly, it sounds like they met and discussed how they had to be on the same page and how it's important that they are. And maybe they did discuss their differences, and maybe they did overcome some things that have really, you know, been maybe tense between them. So I think this is just everything you want to hear if you're an Eagles fan. Obviously, we know that words are just words when it comes to this type of thing. They have to enact it. They're going to go through tough times together. There's going to be losses. They're going to be asked about each other again. I remember last year when AJ Brown talked to the media for the first time in a long time, and I thought it was like a huge moment. Now, obviously, this thing is a little different because we're talking about a relationship as opposed to AJ breaking his silence. But I know press conferences don't impact really results on the field. But man, for as much as we have talked about the relationship between Nick and Jalen, I just thought that was exactly what you want to hear if you're an Eagles fan. So, really good news for I think the Eagles in general, that's how Jalen discussed their meeting. And I think it's good that they had this meeting. And hopefully we'll hear more from Nick about it later in the week when he speaks on Friday. So outside of that, the other big news from the day was that, you know, there was a report that Cooper DeJean is potentially going to be moving to nickel corner. So Nick Sirianni was asked about the potential move, and while he obviously is not going to say what happened, here is what he had to say about the potential move of Cooper DeJean starting at nickel.
Who are the Jeans taking over at slot cornerback?
Again, you know, we're gonna look at. He's obviously been getting reps at slot. We'll see how it goes this week. Avante's done a good job. Avante's been a good player here for a long time, and pleased with the things that he's doing. So we'll see how the reps go this week. You know, Cooper's obviously got more on his plate than he has in the past with, you know, with the punt return duties and some of the things that he's doing on special teams. So again, pleased with how Avante's is going, but we'll continue to work the reps for all the guys this week and see where we are at the end of the week.
So I thought it was a little noteworthy that he mentioned in there that Cooper has a lot on his plate from a special teams perspective. But the vibe I got being down at practice, my initial impression from day one of just being down there, talking to Cooper, which we'll play in a second, seeing the team practice for the time we're able to, is that I do think it is going to be Cooper DeJean on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns in the nickel role. I did ask Cooper about the report and if he's been told he's going to start. And here's what Cooper had to say.
I think just getting out there and seeing it, really. You know, seeing where I can be in certain coverages in our defense. You know, just getting a feel, you know, for where my help's going to be in each call. You know, knowing where my help is and where everybody is on the field. Just so I have a better understanding of how I can play my man and my different leverages. So,
what's kind of happened in this adjustment?
I would say it's a whole lot different. You still got fit in line, still got cover guys. You know, they got a lot of space to work with, so you got to understand the leverage, where you got help. So there's a lot of similarities. And I just think in the NFL, you know, everybody's good at putting the plays.
So, you know, let's just assume they're going to move ahead with Cooper at nickel corner. I think it's a tough matchup in some ways. Now, on one hand, you look at it and you go, okay, it's the Cleveland Browns offense. They're at the bottom or near the bottom of the league in basically every single category offensively. But if you look at the receivers, they do have good receivers. Their trio of Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, and Elijah Moore are three very good receivers. The issue is they've had a terrible offensive line, which we'll talk about later in the pod, and the quarterback has played poorly. But in terms of receivers and, you know, the corners matchups this week, it is tough. So if you look at their number three receiver, predominantly it has been Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore has played about 60% of his snaps in that role this year. Elijah Moore, 5'10", 180 pounds, good speed. Seems like a tough matchup for Cooper. Cooper, I think, you know, we'll see. His career, he's not taking a snap yet, so I can't really speak to which kind of receivers he struggles with. But I do think Elijah Moore is a tough matchup. Now, the good news is, because their offense is so inept, Elijah Moore has not been a big down the field threat. In fact, he's averaging just 6.1 yards per catch this season, which is clearly not a concerning number there and doesn't speak to his ability to you know, make things happen down the field. So I think the speed of Elijah Moore is not being realized in the Cleveland Brown offense. But I do think Elijah Moore is a tough matchup in there for Cooper. Then they also move Amari Cooper into the slot. Obviously, that's a size disadvantage there with Cooper DeJean. And then Jerry Jeudy, probably, I would say, had a disappointing career so far based off what he was supposed to be, but very good route runner, quick feet, 6'1", 193 pounds. He's in the slot about 50% of his snaps as well. So I think that Cooper, if he does move to nickel, it is a tough initial matchup. We'll see if the Eagles defensive line is able to get after Deshaun Watson and make it so those matchups are a little bit easier if the Cleveland Browns offensive line is struggling. But yeah, I expect to see Cooper out on the field Sunday as the starting nickel. And, you know, not the easiest initial set of matchups there. The last piece of audio I wanted to play for you from the Eagles locker room is, this feels like a lifetime ago, but Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Darius Slay obviously went on the Micah Parsons podcast, was involved in a conversation about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson where, like, they were kind of joking about how he has to back it up if he's going to talk trash. I didn't get a chance to talk to Slay today, but I did ask Chauncey Gardner-Johnson about it and about what he, you know, he said they were cool. And then I asked, well, you know, how would you describe Darius Slay as a teammate? And here's what he had to say.
He's a great teammate. no more I can say. He's a captain of our team. We listen to him, we follow him, and just try to hope we get a Super Bowl this year to make sure that he can go out with a bang, you know, being on his last couple of years and how he want to play it. But to take care of our vets and making sure that they know they got a safe haven here.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's an accurate answer about Slay. Like, players in that locker room do respect him. I know fans don't like him, and at this point, there's probably not much he can do about it outside win a Super Bowl. But, yeah, I think fans are not going to see the leader that Slay is. I know his players. I know the players in that locker room view him as a leader, and I know that players on that team like him. So I believe that answer from Chauncey, and, you know, we can kind of put this drama to bed now. And, hey, as far as drama goes with the Eagles, looks like we can put together a put aside a bunch of drama, especially with that Jalen answer on Nick. So on the other side, I'm going to get into another preview of this game and talk about what is a matchup the Eagles absolutely have to dominate on Sunday against Cleveland, and that is the Cleveland Browns offensive line against this Eagles pass rush. So we'll get into that on the other side, but first, a word from our sponsor. Okay, so if someone were to ask me, after studying the Browns, if someone were to ask me, why are they 1-4? Why are they struggling? I think the obvious answer would be Deshaun Watson. He has not played well. But I really think the main reason this team is struggling is their offensive line. Deshaun Watson's actually not turning the ball over. Now, his accuracy has been bad. His decision-making isn't great. But he has been under a ton of pressure this season. And the reason for that is the Cleveland Browns offensive line is flat out terrible. No matter what stat you look at, you will see an offensive line that is really struggling. So just a quick little overview of their offensive line. Pro Football Focus has them ranked as the 30th worst pass rushing or pass blocking unit in the NFL. So of the 32 teams, they're ranked 30th when it comes to pass blocking. They have allowed, along with Watson, a league leading 26 sacks, which is wild. To give up 26 sacks in 5 games, I mean, that's almost impressive. You have to try to do that. Now, what compounds their problem of not being a good offensive line, combined with the fact they're giving up all these sacks, is Deshaun Watson holds onto the ball for an eternity. He is 32nd in the NFL holding onto the ball. He's holding it for just over 3.09 seconds. I believe Hurts actually holds that a little longer, for what it's worth. But you can see that Hurts isn't being sacked as much because Eagles have a good offensive line. The combination of Deshaun Watson holding on to the ball as long as he is, along with this Browns offensive line, has led to the extreme issues they've had in pass blocking. So as far as their roster goes, one issue they've had is with injuries. On this season, they have played 7 linemen over 100 snaps, and they've played 8 linemen over 80 snaps. So they've essentially played 3 backups, starter-level snaps so far this season. And going into this week, there's a good shot they'll be playing with a backup at right tackle again, and there's also a possibility they're going to be missing their starting center. So that is something we'll follow as the week goes on. And see how their practice report shakes out. But so let's just look at who the Eagles could be going up against on Sunday. So their left tackle, Jedrick Willis Jr., he's allowed 1 sack, 2 hurries, and 1 hit. Now, he's only played 2 games, and I would say he's probably their best offensive lineman. He is mostly average, though. He's ranked 47th out of 81 tackles. So he's mostly average. He's barely played. But yeah, this is, you know, he's not a great player, but he's probably their best player. Left guard, Joel Bitonino. I'm going to mispronounce these names. I know you all hate when I do it. Some of you love me for it, but Bitonio, he's allowed 10 hurries, 2 hits, and 1 sack, and he's also ranked near the bottom of the league when it comes to their left guards. Center Ethan Pochich, 11 hurries, 4 hits, 2 sacks. He was injured versus Washington. It's unclear if he is going to play. Right guard Zach Zintner, 3 hurries, 1 hit, 2 sacks. He's a rookie. He didn't start his first 3 games. You know, you try not to kill him for playing poorly because he is a rookie. And then right tackle DeJuan Jones, 9 hurries, 3 hits, 3 sacks, also ranked right around the middle of the pack. So they're starting tackles, not great at all, but I would say the interior of their line is really, really where they struggle. And especially when you have a quarterback that holds onto the ball as long as Deshaun Watson does, when you're getting pressure up the middle, that is a recipe for all types of mistakes. So looking at this line, do I think the Eagles will be able to get pressure on Deshaun Watson? I think they will. I think Jalen Carter coming off the bye week is going to be able to win his matchup on the inside against whoever's lined up at center, at either guard he goes up against. I think the tackles are bad. And one thing I will say about the Eagles pass rush is, if you look, and I didn't check this after the bye, so it's probably changed a little bit, but I believe opposing offensive linemen, opposing coordinators are getting rid of the ball the fourth fastest in the NFL against the Eagles defensive line. So while the line has not played well, part of it is they're getting rid of the ball quickly. Deshaun Watson does not get rid of the ball quickly. So I think this could end up being a breakout week for the Eagles defensive line. Maybe you'll see Bryce Huff get a sack, Josh Sweat. I mean, the tackles are beatable and Watson holds on to the ball. So I actually think the Eagles defensive line has the advantage in this matchup. And I think you could finally see them have a breakout game, which is certainly what this team needs and would certainly cap off some good vibes that are happening down there at the NovaCare Complex this week. So thank you to everybody for listening. Truly do appreciate it. A Pod with James will be up today, and we will talk about everything that is going on with this team. So thank you guys for listening. And as we always say, he's Elliot M. James. I'll talk to you guys later.